right. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of SaberSims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, November 25th of 2024. And looking ahead here, we have some NBA action today. We have some NHL action today. And we have some NFL action as well. It is Thanksgiving week. So NFL will be back with a big three-game slate, huge DFS contests on Thursday. So I hope you're all looking forward to that. But for today, for those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel and our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and wanting to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim teams. Can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, so you can tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. It is a special week here with Thanksgiving week, so we will only be having office hours Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of this week, and then we also have our build review show at 5 p.m. Eastern today. All right, but it is Monday, so that means we do have to announce the winners for our weekly max challenge. We are, you know, getting further and further along here in the NFL season, so happy to continue to reward or award these prizes every week here. So we got to announce our top finisher for the week. And we have to give free mini-max entries to one random user who participated from this week here. All right. So for our weekly top finisher, it's going to go to SL Pendy with a fourth place finish, 222.78 points. That is good for a SaberSim hoodie and an entry into our end of the season 25K big game free roll. So congratulations to you. And then for everybody else who participated, let's grab all these names. Gad, 253 people this week. Gonna take all these names, go and drop them into our wheel of names here. Let this update. All right, gonna click shuffle two times, and we are going to spin to see who gets free entry into this upcoming week's Minimax contest. So winner is gonna be Rusty Trombone. Congratulations. Congratulations on the win. And let me get this logged here. Rusty. Congrats to both winners this week. We are 12 weeks in and we And I hope you guys are continuing to enjoy playing the Minimax each and every week. All right. With that said, let's get SaberSim up here, and we're going to jump into questions. We will start with questions that came in the Discord first, as always, and then jump over to the live YouTube chat. One quick announcement. This just went out right before the show. So typically our beta, beta.sabersim.com, where we test new features, is typically only for ultimate subscribers, but we are in the final push for the beta update before we move it over to app.sabersim.com. So as of 5 minutes ago, beta.sabersim.com is available to all SaberSim subscribers, whether you're on DFS Lite, whether you're on DFS Starter, one of the older advanced pro subscriptions, whatever it is, you have access to beta.sabersim.com. So all you need to do, take your normal login credentials, go to beta.sabersim.com and sign in if you want to use the features, right? So, you know, there's a reason they're still on beta, right? We are still encountering and cleaning up and fixing some bugs, but we think that it's very, very minor at this point. And, the changes here are what you're going to be getting used to very, very soon. So we're opening it up to everybody. That way we can just have more traffic, more people testing it out and using it. So if you want to use it, go ahead. If you are like, you know what, I'd rather not touch it. I don't want to run into any issues. I like the way the app works currently. Then stick on app.saberson.com. That's totally fine. So just want to make that quick announcement here. All right. So our first question of the day said, I'm thinking about switching from starter to ultimate. What type of volume do I need where it makes it worth it? Yeah, this question comes up from time to time. You know, the best thing I'll say, right, is that when you hear, you know, top DFS pros talk about, you know, ROI and expected ROI and things like that, the number like 10% gets floated around. And we can just use that as like a general heuristic. If you are, you know, working on your process, you know, studying your results, you know, getting better each and every week, if you can make about a 10% profit, that's really good, right? 10% ROI, like long-term. So then you got to work backwards, right? Okay. So if ultimate is like $297 a month, well, then 10% of 3000 is about 300, right? So not to say you need a $3,000 bankroll, but you need to get down $3,000 a month in action, right? So it's a lot different, right? People be like, hey, you know, what if I, what kind of bankroll do I need? I only play football on Sundays. It's like, well, that's a lot different than, you know, if you are somebody playing basketball each and every day, right? And then it's like, how many days of DFS are you playing? Are you playing, you know, one day only on Sundays? Are you playing 3 days, right? You're playing Monday, Thursday, Sunday. Are you mixing in some other sports, right? Do you also play some MMA on Saturdays, right? So I think that, you know, if you can recycle your bankroll and get your entry fees up to a couple thousand, like a month, right? And that ends up being like, you know, just like an estimate, like, you know, you're playing $100 a day on average, right? And if you did that, you know, 30 days in a month, then that seems like that would hit the mark, right? If you play more on Sundays, take some days off, different things like that, then the numbers work out as well. So think about that when making those decisions. All right, real quick. Site says beta site restricted access to our beta site is currently restricted to users pro and above who are not on an active trial. If you believe you are seeing this in error, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so let me send a quick message here to our team. Thank you for this. And I will let the team know people are seeing this. People trying to log on to beta, seeing this message. Just want to get this out. Restricted access. Beta site restricted access to our. Oh, okay. I see. Beta site is currently restricted. Da, 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 da. All right. That's good enough. I'll let the team know. Okay. If you put the image in Discord, that's actually perfect. Thank you so much, CG. All right. Perfect. Team will figure that one out, but let's keep it rolling. Second question, what number is usually looked at in football to hit value? I know basketball is usually 5x the salary, but football, I'm not sure. So don't quote me, but I'm almost positive it's like 3 to 4x value, right? At least that's like when a player's fire emoji in like DraftKings like activates, right? If they are like 3 to 4x, I think it's like 4x ish their projected points or their salary, right? If their actual fantasy points are like 4x their salary, then they get that thing. That would effectively put you 50k salary at around 200 fantasy points, which is normally pretty good for football, right? So I think like that 4x is the range here. So keep that in mind when looking at those things. All right. Next question. When making stands in NFL showdown, such as fading both defenses, is it best to still run the contest sim as normal? My normal process is I fade the defense in utility and captain by unchecking them and then hit rebuild contest and then run the sims. Yeah, that's a perfect way to do it, right? Because regardless of the decisions you're making, right? And let's say you're playing a 20 max, you know, you're playing like the 20 max quarter jukebox, right? I mean, there's tens of thousands of entries in that contest, right? Whether or not you fade the defenses, your 20 lineups are just such a small portion of the overall lineups in the contest, right? You still want to test your lineups against the representative whole of how lineups are going to look. And chances are, you know, not everybody in the contest is going to feel the same way you do about the defenses, right? So even though you are unchecking the defenses, you still want to put your lineups into a hypothetical contest with lineups that are going to be representative of what everyone else is going to do, which is what our field lineups do, right? Even though you're fading the defenses, the field lineups still have those defenses, right? And that's correct, right? They're going to have some amount of ownership there. So you don't want to do that. All right. Next question from Sammy. Let's say, does it really matter when building, changing my own from flagship MME to low stakes MME and/or 20 max or the latter, which shall be used? Okay. So the biggest thing that occurs from you switching, you going into my own column, switching it from the default source, which is the flagship MME, which is like the large 150 max slate of the night where most ownership projections are coming from or are projected for, to any one of these other sources. The biggest things that change, number one is your leverages, right? If Jokic goes, or who's the highest projected own? If Jaden Hardy here goes from 32% in flagship MME to 65% in high stakes single entry, well, that's obviously a huge deal, right? If you are comparing your exposure to that number, right? If you are looking at the flagship, but you are building for a high stakes single entry, well, now that changes, you know, the whole dynamic, right? So that's one thing, is your exposures, your leverage calculations. The other one is going to be your sum ownership, any type of geometric mean calculations, right? The geometric mean is multiplying the player ownerships together. So having 35% versus 65% is obviously a big deal. Now, what it doesn't do, just to be clear, is if you are changing this, or let me phrase it differently, you don't need to change it here if you're building for that type of contest in contest simming, right? Because the builder knows what contest you're playing in the contest tab. And then based on your entry file upload, we are automatically determining, hey, this is the right field lineup set for this contest. It won't change unless you manually go and change it, right? So if you're like, you're in the contest tab, let's say that, you know, I upload my file, I get a contest listed in the contest tab, which it should look like this right here. So even if I go and change my ownership source in build one from flagship MME to high stakes single entry, it's not going to automatically change the field lineups that are being used. I would have to come in here, manually change it myself. So that's the biggest thing there. And then for my non-ultimate viewers, right? The other thing that changes when you change my own from one source to another is Saber score, right? It has an impact on Saber score. And the reason for that is because adjusted ownership looks at player ownership and it looks at the player's range of outcomes and it gives them a score, right? So if I change somebody's ownership from 65 to 35, we're going to see the adjusted ownership at 57. And then when I change it, their ownership to 35, the adjusted ownership goes down to 31, right? So in case you guys aren't aware or forgot, Saber score uses a negative weight on average adjusted ownership of your lineup. So changing the source will have an impact on the Saber scores if you are doing that, right? So like, let's say that, you know, you're mostly playing low stakes single entry, right? Well, it defaults to flagship MME, right? That's what's happening here. Well, if you're like mostly just a low stakes single entry player, well, it'd probably be worth it to come in here and change this to low stake single entry, right? That way you just get a little bit more accuracy with your ownerships, a little bit more accuracy with your adjusted ownership, and it will, you know, have an impact on the saber score of your lineups, and hopefully you get some better lineups as a result of that change. All right. Next question. When I put in my lineups, doesn't it give an advantage to other players? I would say no. I'm not 100% sure why or the reasoning. So if you want to write the reasoning a little bit more so we could discuss it, that'd be great. But other players can't see your lineups before the slate starts is the biggest thing that should be mentioned here. You know, inside of Saber Sim, only you can see your lineups. So I don't think you have to worry too much about that. But if you want to add to that a little bit, happy to circle back. All right. Sammy followed up, said, you know, sometimes some of us play one shot to the big contest. Shall we run everything again? By the way, I cannot see the Saber Sim page behind you, Andrew, or is it just me? All right. Let's try taking that down and resharing it. Hopefully you can see it now. So I'll tell you guys how I do this. I just run it all together now. You know, I think a lot of people really like to, when they, you know, win a satellite ticket, when they have an entry into like a bigger contest, things like that, right? They do like to be a little bit more hands-on with the lineup that ends up in that contest. That is okay, right? If you have 150 entries and then you have like one satellite, right? It is okay to fill the 150 from one build and then do a second build for your one lineup, you know, pick it out, put it in the favorites, save it, you know, however you want to do it. It is totally okay to be more hands-on with your one lineup, especially when the entry fee is a lot higher than you would normally play. So whatever, at the end of the day, no matter what you do, you should be comfortable with the lineups you submit into your contest, right? Whether you are comfortable going with autofill, whether you are comfortable doing it from the same build, whether you want to do it from a separate build, however you want to do it, you got to figure out which way makes you comfortable with the lineups that you submitted. All right. Chris said, how many changes to predictions should I do for NFL lineups? Also, should I save each slate individually or auto? So I'm answering the second part first. I prefer autofill. It's a lot faster. Now, typically it comes into play a lot for me because I play a lot of slates and I play a large number of contests, right? So I would say the more slates you play and the more contests within a slate you play, the more I would recommend autofill. If you are playing one slate, you know, you're playing like 1 to 3 contests, it's okay if you want to be a little bit more hands-on and use direct fill, but this next question kind of goes with this current question, so I want to mention it. So use the contest target ROI versus the general ROI. So this is where direct and autofill come into play, right? When you are using direct fill, we are averaging the ROIs across all of the contests you have. So if you have 3 contests and you are in direct fill and you run the contest sim and then you let it sort by target ROI, what it's going to do is it's going to average out the ROIs. So if one contest has 100% ROI, the second contest has 75% ROI, and the third contest has 50% ROI, we're going to add those up, divide by 3, comes out to 75%. And then the average of 75% would be the lineup's ROI score that gets used to grade the lineups, right? So that's where autofill comes into play. When you use autofill for whatever contest is being filled at that moment, it will be sorting the lineups by that specific ROI. So when we go to fill one of the contests and the ROI is 100%, it will get used as 100%. When we go to a new contest and the ROI is 25%, that will be the lineup's ROI. It will never be an average of all the contests that you have selected. It's just a little more contest specific in that way. All right. Jay Sams Jr. say, keep up the great work. Thank you very much, sir. Happy to do this show every day for you guys. All right. Those were our initial questions here. Got a question here from Great White Shark. Let me get that one in the queue. And we'll keep it rolling. Looks like another autofill question. So happy to continue to talk about the differences here. And you know what? While I get this question in, let's just run a build. That way we can have some lineups to work with. All right. Question. Been having issues with autofill and not enough lineups pop up, indicating despite large pools, has to duplicate in contests, usually single entry. This is independent of min uniques, which can be won. Turning off ROI filter solves this. Is it just that there are ROI lineups for some contests being trashed that are needed for others? Okay, so just really quickly, the way the ROI filter works, right? Or the way filters are supposed to work in general, right? Is when the same way we're using the averages in direct versus auto, right? So here, when I am in direct and we are filtering, it is using averages across everything. So if I use a ROI greater than zero, that is going off of the average ROI for every contest, or that every lineup has across all the contests. In autofill, it is filtering the ROIs for one contest, filling the lineups, changing contests, going from contest one to contest two, and then it recalculates, hey, which lineups are positive ROI still, right? And it can add lineups back into the pool. It could take lineups out of the pool. Since every lineup has a different ROI based on the contest that it's on, right? So if you're running into a not enough lineups pop up, I'm honestly not 100% sure what that would be indicating here. So what I would recommend is anytime you guys run into issues, go to the top right corner, go to report a problem, right? It's a brief description of the issue that you are encountering. And then from there, our support team can look into it. And then we can let you know, hey, you know, we found X, Y, and Z, and you know, we think this will happen, or like, hey, this is a bug, you know, thank you for bringing it to our attention, or a number of different things like that. So that is what I would have to recommend here. All right. We're all caught up with questions here at the moment. So while we wait for more questions to roll in, I'm going to continue with this build demo, right? So we made just the two minimum required changes to projections here. Something I recommend people do before even running their lineups, just come in here and sort by value. When you do this, you're going to get an idea of, hey, where are the places for this slate that I should spend a little extra time analyzing, right? It's like, I come in here and I see that there is one player above six value, which really isn't a lot, right? I would consider this a lower value slate. So I come in here and I want to verify some of these higher value spots, right? So like, okay, why is Diabate high value, right? And then I go to Charlotte, I sort by projection. And then it's like, okay, Diabate plays center. Well, Mark Williams is a center and he is out. Grant Williams has center positional eligibility. He is out. And Nick Richards, who also has center eligibility, is out. So there are effectively three centers out on this team. Now that opens up a bunch of opportunity for somebody lower salary to get a lot of minutes and come in and play regularly, right? So that makes sense to me why Diabate is higher value, right? So like, I would be like, okay, check mark, you know, this makes sense, right? And you can check, you know, the first like three to five players on the slate and just kind of see what you're thinking, right? Sometimes there's going to be low value slates where the field is just getting to a lot of a player who is marginally better than some of the other options on the slate. And sometimes that could be a good opportunity, like, hey, you know, I see that this player is, you know, a value spot, but you know, this team, it just, I'm not seeing, you know, the story isn't adding up for me, right? And then that could be like a little bit of a red flag as to how you want to approach the slate, right? So I think that's like a good step to do before you build. And then you come in here, you build your lineups. At this point, you can run your contest sim if you want. If not, stick with SaberScore. One thing with SaberScore, right, is that if you are, you know, optimizing for a smaller single entry, something like that, come in here and verify the SaberScore that you're using, right? So with SaberScore, we basically default to 10K to 50K contest size because a lot of contests kind of fall in that range. But you can come in and change it, right? This is, you know, you're playing an NFL showdown tonight, and or maybe tonight's not a good example. Maybe you're building for the three-game slate on Thursday, right? And it is considered a small slate, but the contests are massive, right? The contests are huge. Come in here and change it to, you know, 50K plus. This 50K plus, the numbers on the right side of this line here indicate how many entries there are in the contest that you're primarily building for, just to be clear. All right. But if you have contest sims, you don't have to worry about it here, right? So because I created a manual one, I'm going to change this slightly here. So let's let this re-update. All right. So lineups built, sorting metric chosen, check, check, check. Everything looks good. Now what I want to do, right? I want to start making these lineups my own. I want to start making some decisions here. So the way I like to do this is I like to have the exposure, leverage, and pool columns all visible for me, right? Those are the key things I like to see when I'm analyzing my lineups. Hey, what is the player's ownership? What is the exposure? How much leverage do I have? And then how often are they coming up in all of the lineups I built, not just the top 20, right? So when I have these things, that's really good info for me. Another thing I like to do is I like to have an average projection aggregate metric, and then I also like to have an average ROI aggregate metric. All right, so from here, I can do a couple things. One thing that we've talked about is having a projection filter, just getting rid of some of the lowest projected lineups in your set, just because we've seen projection matter on in our build review shows in the post-contest sim. So I'm going to come in here, set up a filter that says, show me lineups with projection greater than X. And then I'm just going to start adjusting this, right, until we get to about 10% of lineups in our trash, which is like a number that I tend to use here. So 460, that's really close, right? This looks good since we started with 5,000 lineups. And then I'm going to turn on this ROI filter. So show lineups with ROI greater than zero, set that guy up. And that leaves me with about 1600 lineups, which is perfect, right? It's more than enough. So I'm going to go back to my lineup here, to my lineups. And now I'm ready to start adjusting some min uniques, right? Getting some diversification in my lineup set. So I'm going to increase min uniques from one, and I'm going to note these aggregate metrics, right? 273.9, 84%. I'm going to bump it up to 3. And what does 3 do? 3 barely moves, right? These numbers, these values barely moved at all. That's great, right? If you're hardly sacrificing anything but guaranteeing diversification in your lineups, that is a phenomenal thing to do. All right, so 272.2 when we get to min uniques of 4. ROI down to 73%. You know, this is, I would consider this like a notable change, right? Now, do you want to go further? Do you not? It's kind of up to you, right? I would be okay seeing what 5 does. So we started with 273.9, 84%. So 5 is kind of drastic, right? We dropped down to 272 projection and to 73% ROI, which is fine. You know, it's okay to sacrifice a little bit of projection and ROI to get diversification. But here, you know, going to 5, we drop another 4 points and we drop another like 15% ROI. 5 feels like a little bit too much for me personally. Now, if you're like, you know what, I like these exposures and leverages a lot better, which is should be a consideration for you, then, you know, go with 5, right? Me personally, I'm okay being a little bit higher exposed to some players in my lineup set, right? But if having 75% of a player is too much for you, you'd rather have 50% or 55, whatever it was, then use 5, right? But 4 makes more sense to me. So you got to figure out what number makes sense to you. And then from here, right, I'd be ready to save these lineups, and I would be ready to get to set up my late swap build for these later windows on the slate. But that's how I'd be building lineups for today. All right, question from Sammy. When using Direct and you set up min uniques as well as ROI filter, does that translate when you switch to autofill? Thanks. So if I set it up in Direct and then I switch to auto, the min uniques that you have set will apply to all the contests in your list. And then the filters that you apply when you click save will get applied differently, right? So they're going to get applied on a contest by contest basis. So an ROI filter in Direct Fill will have a different impact than an ROI filter in autofill will. Next question. Is it a great idea to run the optimizer for NBA like we do for sports like NFL, or is that even a process approach? I think it's fine to, you know, have a approach that is generally like sport agnostic, right? Where you have a set of actions that you feel apply to multiple sports. You know, if you're applying that process and then you are studying your results in flashback and the results are good across sports, you should feel comfortable using it the same way, right? If you are using it across sports and it is working out well in one sport versus another, then I would consider making adjustments to your process from that point. All right. Taking a peek here in Discord again. We're all caught up there. Looks like we're caught up in the YouTube chat as well. And we already knocked out our build demo. So appreciate everybody tuning in. I'll be back in 25 minutes for our build review show today. So until then, everybody, take care. Thanks for tuning in.